Blog Talk Radio.
Some months ago, I conducted an unscientific online diversity survey to measure the temperature and the mood of our society toward the ever-evolving concept of diversity. The results included a sample size of 36 respondents with a very interesting array of comments on the impact and effectiveness of diversity and inclusion today. Some answers were understandable, others were surprising, and still other responses indicate the work that is still needed to do in a significant way so that we can make a difference in this world. How we move D&I from an afterthought to significance is strategically tied to the consistency and commitment organizations throughout our society devote to making D&I a permanent multi-year priority. That indeed requires a very tall order to fulfill. Joining us today is Bill Wells, a member of our Kitchen Cabinet Leadership Team and former chair of the National Black MBA Association. We'll discuss the findings and highlight the salient survey points aimed at keeping us on our toes. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends, and welcome to the show. I hope it is bright and cheery wherever you are. If you've downloaded the show after the fact, thank you so much for listening. This is probably one that you want to share with other people. You can also download the survey. We have the entire raw survey, unedited, that you can see at your leisure by going to my website, tellcarole.com, that's T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, and go to the April 24th blog. So go to Carol's blog, today's blog. You'll be able to scroll down and click through, and there's a PDF file. This is a 17-page report where you can see all the responses and see those who have taken the time out of their schedule to respond. Now, again, this is probably a small sample size. I would have wanted to have probably 50 to 100 different respondents because that is a more significant number. But nonetheless, I think it gives us a pretty good indication of how people feel based on workplace issues and diversity. So from that point, I think it really will make a good discussion for today. Also, I am hoping that there will be other surveys like this, other dimensions of diversity and multiculturalism that we will pose out to those and distribute. Some of them may be online. Some will be surveys that people can write out, and then we'll tabulate the results. But again, I think now more than ever, we need to get a real sense of how people are feeling about diversity and inclusion. And certainly my guest, Bill Wells, who is a man of distinction, a diversity professional in Minnesota, and also the former chair of the National Black MBA Association. We have him on board so that we can just discuss the findings and see what it means in this world of diversity and multiculturalism. So, Bill Wells, welcome to the show. Let me put you, open up your microphone and tell you thank you so much for joining us again. You join us periodically, and we're glad to have you back on. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Well, good morning, Carol. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay, very good. Well, glad to be with you again. But it's not bright and cheery here in Minnesota today. It's quite cool and rainy. But this will be a bright conversation.
That's right. Hopefully there's no snow this week for you guys.
No.
Good. We had some snowflakes about 2 weeks ago, so we're done with that. We are definitely done with it. So I conducted this survey and pushed it out there, and again, I think today more than ever, because how busy people are, anybody who takes time, 5, 10, 15 minutes out of their schedule, and they not only responded to true, false, and you know, clicked out the box, but they gave me answers too. They gave me information, so I think this is quite valuable. The first question, this was on the heels. We actually conducted this in late August of last year. It was on the heels of the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, which took place in August of originally 1963 and then was commemorated in 2013. And the question was, can you reflect on how diversity, reflect on the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington? And overwhelmingly, the response, 30 respondees said, we still have a lot of work to do. We still have work to do to fully achieve racial equality in America. What were your thoughts on that, Bill?
Well, you know, Carol, I mean, we've discussed this many, many times, and I'm reminded that, you know, we need to really almost separate the work of D&I from race and racial disparities. And the reason I say that is racism is not going to go away anytime soon. It's something that's embedded in the fabric of America, and it's a worldwide issue. But, you know, the sad reality is after all the work that led up to the Dr. King and all the work that he did along with the recognition, there seems to be more celebration around the 50-year anniversary than there is recognition of all the work that needs to be done. Katie Couric on TV just recently had a program on race, focused strictly on race.
Mm-hmm.
Tavis
mm-hmm.
Smiley was on there, and I mean, regardless of, you know, Tavis's political affiliation, he made a lot of good points, and I commend Katie for lifting the race discussion up to be discussed on TV. Eric Holder, who is in the president's cabinet, has spoken out very recently. Yet and still, unfortunately, a majority of our population seems to want to push race into a kind of a low-level discussion. They're very uncomfortable with it, but it's pervasive. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that separate from the D&I work that gets done in corporate America? Sometimes and oftentimes, I think leaders get confused that there's still a lot of shaming and blaming for racism mm-hmm. when that's not really the issue. The issue is, do we have proper representation? You know, meaning, do people have equal access to opportunities? They, once they're there, are they really fully engaged and allowed to become a part of the enterprise in helping the organization move forward?
Well, you know, we've talked about just the whole phraseology in terms of diversity and inclusion, and I'm probably going to do a show on that later on
mm-hmm.
this year. And when you incorporate the word inclusion, it literally changes the dynamics of the discussion point, so much so that an organization that I'm affiliated with, I was quite surprised, they've recently redone their website. And the part of the website that originally talked about the diversity and gave their diversity information, they now have transformed, and the lead word is inclusion.
Yep.
Well, if you're not a learned person or someone who is up to date on the significance of that word, you're going to think in many ways that that organization is not really focusing on diversity issues. So I was quite surprised that they were leading off with the word inclusion and minimizing the whole concept of diversity. And that is a concern of mine. But I think you're right that we are celebrating the symbolism and the importance of the 50th anniversary is to be recognized and is to be acknowledged in terms of its importance, but it does not go hand in hand with the amount of work that needs to be done. You're correct about that. I just got through watching Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC interview a columnist with the New York Times because of a new policy that the Army actually has refreshed and refurbished and updated about hair. Would you believe that, Bill? About hair and about braiding. And the appropriate way to have braids when you are in uniform. And the standard was based on a white model.
Yep.
So it was like, oh, my gosh, here we go. We're not even there yet. I mean, all these years later. So, yeah,
okay.
I would understand where these survey results are. Yeah, we move on. The second question says, is diversity really effective on your job? Now, this was really quite interesting, and I said, I wanted people to be honest. I said, no one, you know, I don't know who these people are. So, you know, I said, please be honest, and because this is confidential and you're anonymous. And the three choices were yes, sort of. The question was, is diversity really effective on your job? And the options were yes, sort of, window dressing, non-existent, no. and I'll read the results to you. Results included, yes, 13.89%, sort of 30%, or 31%, non-existent 2.78%, no 19.44%, and window dressing only a whopping 33.33%.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, Carol, let me offer a perspective on that, because quite frankly, this is an area, and I understand and respect the responses, and I appreciate it because I understand how people get into defining something as sort of or window dressing only. It's kind of like pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Either you are or you're not. So, you know. So, if
I know
in
a
fact,
little bit about that.
Yeah. If, in fact, diversity is truly effective on the job, it either is or it isn't. And the problem is, when we move away from hard metrics, tangible results that come about with representation and such, and I'm not talking about affirmative action, but I am talking about measurements. As we know, in business, what gets measured gets done, period. That's the formula for success. All leaders are bound by certain metrics around performance, the bottom line and such. So either diversity is working or it's not working. Even when we talk about window dressing, I get it. I understand that, you know, we've had those feelings. But quite frankly, window dressing is not real diversity. Window dressing is just that. It gives a false impression.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Unfortunately, there are several national surveys that list top 50 companies that are the best at diversity. And I know for a fact a number of the organizations that are on that list that made the top 50, I've worked with them, and quite frankly, and recently, within the last 6 months, I know differently. I know what's happening, yet and still they made the list, and I would suggest to you that through their sponsorship for ads and such, they've got the window dressing thing going, but diversity is not working inside. So, this survey result is very interesting, and I feel bad for the multitude of employees who kind of want to believe that it's working, so they say something like sort of or window dressing. It is or is it? It really is working or it's not working.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you'd say that. You know, we've been doing this kind of work now for, 35 years, certainly when you look at the late Roosevelt Thomas, much longer than that, Price Cobb, 40 years or so, and the work has become somewhat sophisticated to the point where there are those in the field, no disrespect to my colleagues, but there are those in the field who have garnered a significant amount of client activities, but they're not necessarily pushing diversity forward. They are involved and engaged in activities that pacify and satisfy the decision makers within the company, but it doesn't necessarily change the metrics as you're talking about. The metrics are definitely the key. So this is something I'm going to go back and just study this. I'm going to ask this question again probably on another survey that I do in the next couple of months to see if it changes at all. But it's the bottom line, no matter how sophisticated, how wonderful it looks, if it does not measure up in terms of the numbers, it just doesn't measure up. You also mentioned affirmative action, and here we have the Supreme Court ruling again on the University of Michigan, where they have affirmed the ban on affirmative action once again. So we have things to do. We don't need to move on because I want to get some of the other answers. Next question was, how does your organization demonstrate its commitment to diversity and multiculturalism? I will not read all the responses, but some of the responses, including Black History Facts on a website. Another comment said, has a diversity office, has employee affinity groups, holds cultural events, conducts diversity training. So we know the activities are going on by hiring a few minorities. Someone else said that she works at a medical center, and I really don't see the diversity among nursing and upper-level management. I want to talk to you about that, Bill. Training, emphasize, and hiring diverse leadership, financial support to attend various activities, and Another comment, hiring practices, though it's a struggle, ethnic diversity, multicultural training now in place by having race dialogue series each year made up of administration and community partners. This whole piece about being in organizations where they may have diversity activities going on, but again, this is related to the numbers again. But then when you see what's going on in top leadership, who is in top leadership, what do they look like, what's their ethnicity, it so often resembles what we've seen for so many years. What are your comments on that, Bill?
Well, first of all, activities do not equate to strategy. And strategy comes from organizations that have plans in place. Let's face it, Carol, we've had this discussion many times. If there is no vision, if there's no vision at the leadership level and commitment to outcomes, it's not going to happen. So you default to having just a plethora of activities, and it, you know, all over the rainbow, all the way from Black History Month celebration to women's recognition events to LGBT activities, all these cultural, symbolic cultural or ethnic activities that occur. But essentially, those are set-aside activities that happen once a year or whatever. They do not lead to real outcomes. And the kind of outcomes we're talking about are workforce-related, meaning do you have representation of the different culture, the measurable cultural or ethnic groups, and we know that that ties to census. Does does the organization have workplace initiatives in place? Meaning, do they have things that are transforming the work, the workplace, the culture, to an culture of diversity and inclusion? And there are ways to measure that. Then another piece to the whole diversity equation is looking at outside markets. I mean, how many more times are we going to have the discussion around the changing demographics in this country and recognizing that the needs within different market segments occur, not just for consumer product goods or at a retail level? How many more times do we have to have that conversation about the marketplace has changed, yet and still many organizations are taking a singular, ubiquitous approach to how they produce products, and they deliver one size fits all? Well, after a while, the consumers will dictate by the way they spend their money. So, again, back to how does this work? It really starts at the very top of the organization. And I'm not talking about CEOs that have to be flaming advocates and zealots around D&I, but recognizing the importance of human capital and the fact that the simple solution for organizational leaders is it's about people, place, performance, and profit. That's it. It's a very simple.
I think going along with that, I think when you look at the whoever the head of the organization is, the executive director, CEO, president, whatever that person's name title happens to be, there has to be more of a congenial partnership with whatever person or department is administering and disseminating the diversity strategy or whatever. And what I see in the work that I do, I mean, I struggled with this a couple of weeks ago. I was on a panel, and one of the questions was, best practices. Can you give me the names of two or three organizations or companies that really are doing well with diversity? And Bill, I talked to you about, I struggled. I couldn't name one. And it's not that they weren't throwing money and dollars at these activities, but when I looked behind the curtain and saw what was really going on, and these are some of the companies that I've worked with as well, and then talked anecdotally with some other people who worked for these companies, I couldn't name one. I just couldn't name one because there was not this unified strategic approach to diversity where you know it's hard work, you know you have to roll up your sleeves, and you know that the CEO has to work in tandem with that advocate or that professional inside the organization that is actually driving it forward. And that's what I don't see happening too often.
And we've talked about this before, Carol. One of the suggestions that I make for the listeners on the call today, and it's not under the banner of diversity and inclusion, but if you want to get an idea of positive things that organizations do to make sure they're recognized as an employer of choice or a great place to work, look at the annual survey in Fortune magazine that talks about the top 100 best companies to work for, or the 100 best, most admired companies. That won't be a perfect answer, but it'll give you some insights into the different types of things that they value. And usually when you look at those lists, they always talk about the people and how important the people are. So companies that value human capital and invest in acquiring the talent and then growing and developing the talent and advancing the talent, those are the companies I'm impressed with. I'm not necessarily impressed with the companies that strive to be included in the top 50 list for diversity because, as I've said to you, several of those companies that are on the list, I mean, I'm actually floored when I see it because I'll walk in the building and some of the employees that look more like me and look like you and others, they look at me like, well, Bill, what do you think? And I have to be very careful what I say because I can't say, well, this is a, this is all about pay to play. In some cases, I believe that happens.
Yes, yeah, and again, going back to this event where I was on the panel, that week I literally had seen one of my clients who worked for a company that I wanted to recognize, and I asked her, how were things going, and she just said, and I know, you and I both know what that means. So
It's quite
not frustrating, but it means that the work still has to go forward. We have a bunch of people listening online today and also on the phones line, so this is really a very important topic. One of the other questions was, what is the most pressing issue related to diversity and multiculturalism on your job? I'll read a couple of these. I'm sure that those who are listening live and listening in the chat room want to know this. And also, you can go to my blog today. So again, if you go back to the blog talk copy, click through, it'll take you to the blog page. You can then download this report at my website. But some of the comments were getting all associates to have a better understanding of our differences and that those differences can make our organization stronger. Another person said recognizing and teaching everyone equally. Another person said another pressing issue, language barriers. Another person said hiring color into management positions or promoting people of color already on staff. Another person said, from my perspective, 50 new graduate nurses, this is healthcare again, were recently hired. As far as I can see, only one or two are of color. I saw no Asians, no Indians, no Africans at the hiring reception. Now, that's pretty significant, Bill. I'm just going to sort of stop there because I'm in Boston, and healthcare is dominant in this area, and I'm hopefully going to be working with an organization on a pretty strategic and long-term healthcare cultural competency initiative over the next couple of months or so. So if you can't get it right at healthcare, then there's something wrong. So when I see that kind of comment and the hiring practices and who's being hired for, again, these seasoned positions and higher-level positions in healthcare, it's cause for pause. Any thoughts about that and the other comments that were made?
Well, yeah, to the question here, what is the most pressing issue related to diversity and multiculturalism on your job? If anybody comes up with an answer other than it is really about results, it's about representation. The most pressing issue, from my perspective, is the lack of progress around representation. I mean, we've had this conversation now for years, decades. But yet if you look and see across the Fortune 500 ranks, at all levels, still the lack of representation suggests to me that there is no definitive, overt action to level the playing field. And I'm not talking about solving racism. That's a different discussion. That's really solving world hunger. And we can't go there with this work. And so to me, when you look at it, and Carol, I did look at the latest survey results that were part of Diversity Inc.'s analysis because I just got the link today. When I look in there, I see increased representation for Asian and even Hispanic Latino. The black column, which kind of started this whole issue in this country.
Right.
I see very little progress. So to me, it's kind of like, because I'm not going to sit here and beat the drum strictly for representation for African American. I'm talking across
right.
the board.
Right.
And yet
right.
and still, when you look at it, those measurable categories around racial identity, they are
mm-hmm.
still lagging. Companies are still lagging. And yes, mm-hmm. there seem to be more people here, but as I said in one of our other conversations, when the tide comes in, all boats rise.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
if your
that's
boat
true.
Is a leaky boat, your boat
yeah.
starts taking on more water. And I'm afraid that the boat that African Americans find themselves in just happens
mm-hmm.
not to rise to the same level. Women have been rising.
Mm-hmm.
There's still pay disparities, and we know that, but still
mm-hmm.
the representation of women, and primarily
mm-hmm.
women, Caucasian women, are
yeah.
being represented at the CEO level and higher
mm-hmm.
levels in the organization. So there's still a lot of work that has to be done. So to me, the press most singular pressing issue today is the
mm-hmm.
whole thing about parity of representation.
Mm-hmm. Truly said and significantly said also, and again, we will have future discussions on this. Very quickly in closing, what are your thoughts about, again, I'm stuck on the language piece. Here we have sort of replaced diversity with inclusion, and another word that comes up when you're talking about lack of representation, it then, for me, goes to the whole conversation about talent management. What
right.
about that, Bill Wells? What
okay.
about that word in talent management? Very quickly.
Okay. Well, talent management is really the crux of the matter. Corporations, employers thrive off of people coming in, talented people that have skills to get the job done. So when we talk about moving from diversity, which represents all people, all employees, to something called inclusion and or engagement, we really take our eye off the prize. The prize is really about people. So this whole notion about human capital, talent acquisition, talent management, I think is the absolute future. Let's shift to millennials. Corporate America is going to have a major problem with millennials because they're coming in with a different mindset around
absolute.
Retention.
Right,
so,
right.
Talent management, to your point and your comment, I think will be the key for unlocking innovation, engagement, and everything that corporations have to really face going forward to be successful.
Great. Bill Wells, give us your email address, how people can get in touch with you. Again, I encourage those who are, we have a lot of people listening, we have people in the chat room, please
mm-hmm.
download the report, go to my blog at tellcarole.com, that's TELLCAROLE. Go to today's blog and you can download the complete report and see all of the answers. Bill, give us your contact information quickly.
Okay. Email address, I'll make it an easy one. It's B Wells, just B W E L L S, and the number 2, B Wells 2, at MSN.com. The number you can reach me at is 952-942-0654.
Super. Bill Wells is the former chair of the National Black MBA Association, is also a diversity professional, and has worked with many companies and many organizations around the United States. And metrics, that's what you're
yes.
talking about.
Yes.
That's what we really have to measure. He'll be back on our show in the next couple of weeks. And Bill, I thank you so much for being us. And talking with us today about this very important survey, small sample size, but a key indicator in terms of what some of the issues are today. So I
yes.
thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. We hope that you will have a wonderful weekend or week. And, Bill, thank you very much for being my guest today. We will see you next week for another very important show. And I have some exciting things to talk to you about in the month of May as well. Go out there and make it a terrific day. I always say, empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. If you do that and if you really have a commitment to empowerment and diversity and multiculturalism, you'll really make a difference in this world. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a terrific week. Thanks so much for listening.